Lord Nisshingadev's more compassionate nature when he's in Navadvip Dham, I thought that instead of the unlimited wealth of prayers and verses and descriptions of Lord Nisshingadev's Leela and all that led up to it, which comprises most of the seventh canto, we should consider the prayer in which Prahlad Maharaj leads the residents of Harivarsha, which is in the fifth canto. There, Prahlad Maharaj having accepted the will of Lord Nisshingadev to reign as king in this world until the end of the Manvantara, he's leading the residents of Harivarsha in prayer, in so doing, infusing them with his spirit of devotion to Lord Nisshingadev. But it's important to balance our understanding, because some devotees relish an exceptional taste for hearing about Lord Nisshingadev ripping apart Hiranyakashipu and his whole army. And then it makes you wonder what is the motivation and condition of the heart that finds such a relish in that particular aspect of this very lengthy lila, and not hearing so much that while Lord Nisshingadev is most fierce, like a lion, the aspect that Lord Gauranga appreciated was more how those nails and teeth, which are like thunderbolts, are capable, and we desire that they tear apart the demon-like desires for fruit of aspiration in our own hearts. But most of all, how, as Lord Chaitanya prayed, Lord Nisshingadev, who's fierce like a lion, is so protective to the lion's cub. So based on that announcement this morning of the different mood of Lord Nisshingadev in Navadvip Dham, more compassionate, more gentle, more protective, I thought of this prayer in the fifth canto by Prahlad. The Sanskrit is pretty difficult. And I'm hoping if I can just keep talking, we can skip over that part. Oh my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth like thunderbolts, please vanquish these demon-like desires for fruit of gain, which are dormant within our own hearts. Please make your appearance within our hearts and drive away the darkness there, so that we too may become fearless in our struggle in this material world, aspiring by devotional service, for devotional service. And then Prahlad Maharaj expands his prayers to incorporate everyone in the goodwill that he is calling upon Lord Nisshingadev to bestow. May there be good fortune throughout all the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May they become peaceful and calm by the practice of bhakti, because only then will they think of each other's welfare. And then Prahlad goes back to his own personal prayer, reminiscent of his teachings and prayers in the seventh canto. My Lord, I pray that I never feel attraction for the prison of family life, with all its bondage to family members and bank balance and all the rest. If we must have some attachment, and we must, let that be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna. Those who are self-realized are satisfied with the bare necessities of life. They do not hanker to accumulate more or to gratify their senses. Those in such a renowned spirit make rapid advancement in spiritual life, whereas others who are too materially attached find advancement very difficult. Now we should bear in mind that when Prahlad is praying for detachment in his reference to family life, he is in no way encouraging or condoning negligence or lack of the respect and affection needed to support and encourage family members towards the goal in life. But actually, to be effective in helping others, be they family members or congregational members or anyone, the spirit of detachment fortifies our friendship and relationships with an ability to actually help others. In the association of devotees, hearing the pastimes and precepts of the Lord is enriched in its potency, the result of which is that we feel the association of the Lord through sound. And by that transcendental sound, especially on days like today, the appearance days of the Lord are infused with the same potency as the historical occurrence when the Lord actually made his appearance. And therefore, we take advantage of such days by focusing more on Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and the various services which immerse our minds and hearts in his lila in anticipation for his appearance there within our hearts, to tear apart you demon-like lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, which are the only real enemies in all the world, as Prahlad told his father toward the end. Who is this enemy you're talking about? My dear father, the only enemy is the uncontrolled mind. And when we dedicate our time and resources to hearing with devotion and attention the message of the Lord, who enters the heart of the sincere devotee, he cleanses away all material attachment. Srinvata Swakata Krishna Puni Shravana Kirtanaha Vedantasto Hibhadrani Vidaroti Suritsita. The Lord himself, when he's pleased, By our efforts to sincerely and attentively hear his message, he appears within our hearts. And like Lord Gauranga in Gundicha Marjana, going inside the Gundicha temple, which had been closed for most of the year, in preparation for Lord Jagannath coming there, the Lord himself led all the devotees in cleansing the temple with emphasis on their Shravanam Kirtanam. And however hard all the devotees worked collectively, Lord Chaitanya's pile of sand and dust and straw and dirt was bigger than all the other devotees combined. And he kept track. He would reward them with sweetmeats if they did well, and he would fine them if they did not, and encourage everyone to do better. So this pastime of Lord Chaitanya cleansing the Gundicha temple is a graphic visualization of what's transpiring within our hearts. When we hear submissively his message in pastimes, the super soul becomes enlivened that we're taking the initiative and making effort to come back to him. And he helps within the heart by taking up the cleansing. In Navadvip, no, it's not Navadvip Mahatmya, it's more like a reflection on Navadvip Mahatmya after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur compiled that magnificent work. In reflecting on the revelation that inspired him to compile the journey of Jiva Goswami with Lord Nityananda through Navadvip Dham, and in so doing hearing, and by hearing actually entering into the leelas of all the avatars and devotees since time immemorial who had appeared in that holy place. And what is a holy place? It is the collective synergy of all the devotees and avatars who have appeared there, the synergy of their loving relationships with each other and with the Lord that forms the dynamic of the Dham, which attracts us and purifies us to return back to home. So after compiling that wonderful narration between Lord Nityananda and Jiva Goswami, revealing to him the glories of Navadvip Dham, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur reflecting on what he had written, entered in to the Leela, entered into Samadhi, and he's wandering through Navadvip, following in the footsteps of Jiva Goswami, led by Lord Nityananda, and beginning to actually interact with the different devotees and avatars that Lord Nityananda had described. So when he comes to Nrisimhapuri, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying to Lord Nrisimhadev that as in my heart reside six enemies, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, please, Lord, purify my heart. I beg you for the qualification to worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and develop attraction for the holy name. And Lord Nrisimhadev appears to him, places his foot on his head, and says, by the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are removed. Love of Radha and Krishna awaken. And after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur completed his Navadvip Dham Parikrama and Samadhi, he finally saw a personality who he couldn't recognize, offering her eternal seva to Lalita, who then offered it to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and she realized that that's me. He realized, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's me. That's Kamala Manjari in her eternal form. So the acharyas are leading us, and the process is Mahajana Yena Kadasa Panta, to follow in their footsteps. Srila Prabhupada puts so much emphasis on following in the footsteps. Don't consider that by yoga or jnana you can make significant progress in spiritual life. It's very difficult. It's impossible in this age. But the process of following in the footsteps of the acharyas is simple and sublime. During the weeks before and after Gaur Purnima, we were discussing the various stages of Lord Chaitanya's Leela, ending with his taking up residence in Jagannath Puri, but not really going deeply into that very significant aspect of his life in the Gambira. And this is all related to Nrisimha Chaturdasi, if you think we're getting too far off track. When Lord Chaitanya began removing himself from public interaction and preaching and going into his state of semi-seclusion, he had to, because the ecstasies he was undergoing at that time were beyond anything described in any scripture or experienced by any avatar. And therefore, to accompany him on his inward journey, he was very selective about his association. Srila Ramananda Rai, who is Vishakha, and Swarup Damodar, Lalita, were always by his side. And Swarup Damodar, by his songs, and Ramananda Rai, by his verses, could control the Lord's mood from going too deep into separation, which they knew he would just take him away from us. The anguish of that separation from Krishna. Or the other extreme of Sambhog, if it became too much ecstatic, they were also afraid he would leave us. So if he went too far into Vipralamba, they would sing songs and recite verses of Sambhog to bring him back. If he went too deep into Sambhog, they'd sing songs and recite verses of Vipralamba to keep his course on track, like the two embankments of a river, to keep it flowing on its journey towards its destination, the sea, which is representative of Krishna. And he so much appreciated the recitations of Ramananda Rai, the songs of Swarup Damodar, and the meditation of Paramananda Puri. What is the meditation of Paramananda Puri, who was previously Uddhava, who, after taking the humble service of bearing Krishna's message of love to the Brijavasis, was so enchanted by what he heard and saw that he wanted to just give up his post and service in Dwarka as a high minister and dear friend of Krishna to become a blade of grass, to be stepped upon by the lotus feet of the Brijabhasis, to be infused with that Braj Bhakti. These were the associates that Lord Gauranga kept close to his side. And then every day, for hours, he would go to Gadadhar Pandit. Because Lord Chaitanya's whole mission and mood is to understand the glories of Radha's love and what it is in Krishna that she sees through that love. So Lord Gauranga is learning what it means to be Radha from Gadadhar Pandit by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And they were not eager to rush to the 10th canto, because when they came to the chapters of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj specifically and finished those chapters, Lord Chaitanya would say, read that chapter again Tikadatar Pandit, and not until they had heard Dhruva, the chapter of Dhruva Maharaj, 100 times would they proceed. And the same thing when they reached the 7th canto. Most of the 7th canto is devoted to Prahlad and Nrisimhadev. And Lord Gauranga would not continue beyond the 7th canto until Gadadhara Pandit had recited it to him 100 times. He considered Srimad Bhagavatam the crest jewel of all knowledge, the cream of all Vedic literatures, Vyasadeva's own commentary of Vedanta Sutra. And hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, by that hearing, we understand and attain love of God. Regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam combined with serving the devotees. All that is troublesome within the heart is removed, and loving devotional service is established as an irrevocable fact. And as soon as Krishna left this world, and Kali, who could not stand anywhere in the universe during Krishna's presence, even though Krishna's Leela extended into the very early parts of what would have been Kali could not enter the universe as long as Krishna was present. As soon as Krishna left, Kali entered the universe, spread his network of sin, and created a darkness of illusion that could only be dispelled by the rising sun of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is not different from Krishna, and has arisen to brighten the sky just after the departure of Lord Krishna, and is the literary incarnation of Krishna. So in his Anti Lila, Lord Chaitanya exploring the innermost hearts mood of his devotees. For 12 years experiencing that one moment, which is 12 years or more, but it's actually a millennium or more. So, why is it that the Lord insisted on hearing repeatedly about Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev 100 times before continuing on? It's different reasons. The Lord relishes hearing about his devotees. And what is it about Prahlad? The tremendous obstacles he had to face. What is it about Dhruva? The tremendous determination he displayed. And in Lord Chaitanya's mission to reveal by his footsteps and that of his followers the path to Braj, following in the footsteps of the supreme devotees. In Lord Chaitanya's line, sannyasis take shelter of the mood of the gopis, which is the ultimate and perfect renunciation. So Lord Chaitanya relished pastimes of Dhruva, that focused determination, and the selfless attitude of Prahlad. Hearing and following which leads us into the ultimate treasures of mercy and love of God. And we saw when Srila Prabhupada was commenting on the 7th canto, he had a unique kind of enthusiasm and relish which I only saw in comparable in his commenting on the prayers of Queen Kunti. And all these preliminary chapters and cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam systematically prepare our hearts for the appearance of the main actors in that drama of divine love, the appearance of Sri Sri Krishna and Balaram and Radhe Shyam in the 10th canto. So the discussion of Lord Nrisimhadev begins by Maharaj Parikshit asking Shukadev Goswami that you're saying that the Lord is impartial, but what I've heard indicates that he's favorable toward the demigods and inimical towards the demons. So a doubt has arisen in my mind. Can you please dispel it? And Shukadev Goswami became ecstatic. He said, these kind of questions invoke topics about the Lord, which are all auspicious and purifying. And then he relayed what Maharaj Yudhisthira had asked Narada Muni about a similar question when he saw at the Rajasuya sacrifice how Shishupa, when killed by the Lord Sudarshan Chakra, his soul merged into the Lord. From which a few questions arose, like why didn't that happen to Vena, who was equally sinful? Furthermore, how is it that, you know, yogis and jnanis strive with such tapasya and discipline but are not so sure of attaining liberation, which Shishubal achieved simply by continually blaspheming the Lord since the moment of his birth? And his mother was so concerned out of love. The mother's love is so wonderful. She so much loved her son Shishupal that she asked Krishna, please, don't kill him. And he said, I won't kill him if he doesn't blaspheme me more than 100 times in a row without a short intermission. If he'll just only abide by this one discipline of taking a short intermission between every sequence of 100 blasphemies, I won't kill him. And Shishupa was very careful to keep close count, that as soon as he reached 100, he'd take an intermission break. But then his envy was a little bit distracted for a while when Rukmi was arranging for his sister to marry Shishupa. And he was so infatuated that he forgot about his, to some degree, about his enmity with Krishna until it was time for the marriage. And Shishupala had all his great courtiers present to show off before them. And who rides in and picks up the bride and takes her away but Krishna? And then to have that followed by the Rajasuya sacrifice, which he didn't know was to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thought it was to establish the glories of the best ruler. And then he found out that's Krishna? And he could not control himself. And he failed to take his regulated intermission break. And he went past 100. And Krishna released the Sudarshan Chakra. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was so astounded to see that the soul of Shishupal was liberated. A destination questionable for the most severe ascetics, tapasvis, jnanis, and yogis, but Shishupal attained just by continual blasphemy, from which a few questions arose, like why didn't King Vena went to hell? But he wasn't absorbed in blaspheming Krishna, he was just plain sinful. Shishupal was equally sinful, but he was absorbed in always blaspheming Krishna. And Narada Muni and Shukadeva Goswami says that however you can absorb your mind in remembering Krishna, the gopis through lust, Kamsa through envy and fear, whatever way, the yadus through friendship, whatever way you can absorb your mind in Krishna, better favorable devotional service, but any way to remember Krishna is purifying. So and then Maharaj Pariksit asked, well, how is it that Hiranyakashipu was so vicious towards his own son? I mean, demons are typically vicious towards others, but his own son. And then Shukadeva Goswami began narrating the long history. So from the arrival of the four Kumaras at Vaikuntha, who were just marveling at the beauty and just casually walking through one gate after another, which they expected to do as little children, not to be impeded by anyone. And then at the seventh gate, the gatekeeper stopped them. He said, well, who do you think you are? Little infants can't just walk into Vaikuntha? What inspired the gatekeepers to check the movements of the four Kumaras? And what inspired the four Kumaras to curse those gatekeepers as being in the bodily concept of life to make such distinctions? It was the Lord's own internal energy which inspired them. And the Lord appeared and he begged forgiveness, saying that the behavior of the servant reflects on the master. But the curse had already been uttered that they would have to take those three births as demons, which they did. And then, as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupala and Dantavakra, these archetypal personalities of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Vatsarya, were delivered by the Lord. But the wonderful thing is, they wanted to come back again. And thus, there was another birth. It was not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because there is a postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Jai and Vijay, after their sixth births as a demon, or three births if you look at them as a team, as demons who were killed by the Lord, came back as Jagai and Madhai, who were considered by the Acharyas to have all the evil propensities of the other six demons. Or at least Jagai had all that evil propensity, but Madhai had something even worse, because he committed the most atrocious aparad. When the original guru, Lord Nityananda, out of inconceivable compassion, approached to offer love of God to Dagai Madai, and he responded by attempting to kill him. That was a Vaishnava aparad and a guru aparad, excelling anything that Jaya and Vijaya in their previous six demon births had ever achieved. And Lord Nityananda is glorifying to Jiva Goswami to see the comparison of Gaura Lila to that of all the other avatars. The other avatars kill the demons, awarding them liberation, which is his partiality. Whatever the Lord does, whether he kills the envious demons or sends Vena to hell, it's just for the good. He's impartial in that he's only concerned with the good of his parts and parcels. But as we approach him, he reciprocates accordingly. But Lord Nityananda was emphasizing to Jiva Goswami, just see the unparalleled kindness and mercy in Gaura Tattva. He doesn't kill the miscreants and offenders and blasphemers and demons. He gives them love of God, as he did in the case of... And what was the condition of Madhai? You know, after the Lord forgave him, it wasn't enough for Madhai. Lord Chaitanya said, "You're forgiven by your surrender." But Madhai was just haunted day and night, tormented by remembrance, which like endless waves of the Ganges of insulted women, mutilated corpses, orphaned children, all reduced, all those souls reduced to such a lamentable state due to his envy. And he approached Lord Nityananda alone, understanding him to be the most merciful, and requesting some specific tapasya and discipline that would free him from the haunting memories that plagued him day and night. And Lord Nityananda gave him a special task: to construct and maintain a bathing ghat. Because all the pilgrims in Navadvip Dham go to the Ganges to bathe. He said, by making such a nice ghat that they all come there, you'll be serving all the devotees. And in so doing, you can ask them all for forgiveness. Because he couldn't find all those he had forgiven. So many had been killed, and so many he had been forgotten due to his drunken stupor. But Lord Nityananda gave the concession: if you serve all the pilgrims, all the Vaishnavas in Navadvip Dham, and if you like, you can beg forgiveness for anything committed knowingly or unknowingly to them. That will relieve your tormented mind from the anguish you are continually undergoing. Taking that order upon his head, circumambulating Lord Nityananda three times, Madhai began the construction. And for the rest of his life, he stood there on the bank of the Ganges, serving the devotees and pilgrims, and begging everyone, whether knowingly or unknowingly I've ever offended you, please, I beg your forgiveness. Because I've been forgiven by the Lord. But I need forgiveness from his parts and parcels. And we cannot expect to be forgiven unless we are forgiving. And where does this forgiveness come from? It comes from the Lord. who has such unlimited compassion. So after, you know, the whole Leela, and Hiranyakashipu was killed. But Lord Nrsingadev was so fearsome. His eyes were blazing like fire to such an intensity that they eclipsed practically the brilliance of the sun and the luminaries. And shaking his mane was scattering the clouds, and his roaring was terrifying the elephants, and the weight of his movements was making mountains spring up on the earth. And he was just so fierce that nobody could even look upon him. Even Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmideva were terrified to go near and try to pacify him with prayers. So Brahma asked Prahlad, who approached like a child. Returning to his long-lost father. And he just told him very simply, I'm not afraid of your blood-soaked nails or your blood-soaked mane or your garland of intestines or your fierce growling, because I know who you are. He's Krishna with a mask on. Another feature suitable for the pastime. And Lord Nrsingadev, who was the only one who could kill that tyrant who had terrorized and conquered the whole universe, who could only be conquered by Lord Nrsingadev was conquered by the gentle, submissive love of Prahlad, and he began like purring instead of growling and snarling, and so pleased. And he told Prahlad, I want to offer you some benediction, and this is a wonderful thing. Prahlad's reply. Prahlad never considered that being tortured and harassed and obstructed all his life in his attempts to serve Krishna was actually any kind of obstacle. He never considered. But when Lord Nrsingadev offered him any benediction you like, he could have asked to go back to Godhead. He said, my Lord, please don't place these obstacles before me. The benediction from the Lord he considered to be an obstacle. What does this mean? What is he thinking? Prahlad said, my Lord, don't tempt me. I'm born in a dynasty of demons. We're naturally inclined to try to get things from others. But that's not bhakti. If I approach you like that, I'll just be a merchant. Please, my Lord, don't offer such things. And this is Lord Chaitanya's mood. You know, in his own Shikshastakam, which was the culmination of that experience in the Gambhira, which also progressively, like Srimad Bhagavatam, it progressively takes us through all these stages of Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, all the phases of the Astakalya Leela. It's all there. Everything's there in Shikshastakam. And what is the culmination? Let Krishna trample this maidservant who has fallen into his feet. Or, if he likes, he can embrace me. Or, if he really wants to destroy me, he can show his favor to a rival right before my eyes. He can do anything and everything, and I accept with gratitude because he is the Lord of my life unconditionally. This is the mood of Lord Gauranga, but it's being prepared for us by Prahlad and hearing about Lord Nrsingadev. But Lord Nrsingadev insisted, no, Because he was feeling for all that Prahlad had been through. And what does this tell us? You know, we find it there. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami gives us a glimpse of the depth of the Lord's heart when that devotee returned home and Krishna is coming back with the cows and he just forgets the gopas and gopis and runs to embrace this newcomer and everybody's wondering, who is this? And they fall down in ecstatic love on the ground, crying and trembling. And Krishna addresses this newcomer, how could you have stayed away for so long? How could you live without me? You were searching for me everywhere, begging door to door, being insulted, tormented, and harassed. I know, because I was with you. And this applies to all of us. There is a special place for all of us in that broad, deep heart of the Lord. So, anyway, Lord Nrsingadev, in a similar mood of appreciation for all that Prahlad had been through, said, no, I must give you some benediction you don't want, but it's my reciprocation. I feel for all that you've been through. I want to give something to reciprocate. Please ask something. And Lord Nrsingadev asked him, please take the throne. Rule over the demons. And by remembering me, you'll always be protected. But then Prahlad said, actually, there is one thing I want to ask from you, my Lord. My father was very angry. He blasphemed you. Please forgive him. And Lord Nrsingadev, very happy, said, not only I forgive him, but 21 generations of yours, backwards and forwards, will all be liberated. What does this tell us about the heart of the Lord? Everyone has natural feelings and affection for family members. And the Lord wants to assure us that if we want to do good for our family members and return to Him, He will take care of 21 generations backwards and forwards if we surrender to Him completely. And we find that same mood in Vasudev Dutt when Lord Gauranga wanted to award him some benediction. And he replied, my Lord, my heart breaks to see the sufferings of all conditioned souls in this world. If you want to give me a benediction, give me all their sinful reactions so that I can suffer forever and let them become freed to return to you. And Lord Gauranga was trembling and his voice was faltering and he said, this is not an astonishing thing to ask because you are the incarnation of Prahlad. Specifically, he's the spirit of Prahlad. And Haridas Thakur, being beaten ferociously by the whole team of Muslim executioners, only asking, Lord, please forgive them. So, by following in the footsteps of the Mahajan, and Madhai also became Mahajan after his conversion, worthy, and this gives us great hope. So, the descendants of Madhai, who previously were disgusted with that family member, are all now very proud of their ancestor, and who we remember standing there on the bank of the Ganges, begging forgiveness, proclaiming the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and his family members are now proud of their ancestor who bears testimony to the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Srila Prabhupada chose Ram Nomi as the installation day of Krishna Balaram, because he wanted to proclaim to the world, because, you know, the Indian people were very attached to Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to impress upon them, as well as everyone else, by opening the temple of his heart in Ramanreji, to reveal that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya Balaram Harlonitai, that same Krishna and Balaram have returned as Nitai and Gaur. And Lord Chaitanya, the avatari, contains all the avatars within him. And he has his own pastimes of Lord Nrisingadev. In Avadvip Dham, many pastimes. When Lord Nrisingadev was returning to the spiritual world, and then he thought, I need to wash my hands of all this bloody business. Where'd he go? Navadvip Dham. To wash his hands and take rest. And Vishwakarma made residences for the devas to stay there with him. And when he went there on Parikrama years ago, the villagers were following us everywhere. And we had to actually inquire, you know, how do you answer the call of nature, because these villagers follow you everywhere. So basically because they think you're demigods. They've never seen white people. They think they're like descendants of those demigods, and they don't have to answer the call of nature. And that kund where Lord Nrisingadev washed his hands of all this bloody business, thinking that in the future he would return here again. And he did, pouncing on the chest of the Chankazi, who was trembling in fear. And he said, I don't want to kill you. Just stop impeding the devotees. And Chankazi, then when Lord Gauranga came after and said, why did your attitude change so much? And he told him about this, you know, half man, half lion. And in that dream or whatever it was, he said, my heart was so changed. And my dear nephew, because he was a friend of Nilambar Chakrabarti, my nephew, people call you Gauranga, and they say that you are Krishna. Is it true? And he just reached out and touched the Chankazi by the hand. He said, because you have chanted these holy names, you are now purified. Your heart is clean. And I only have one request of you. Do not impede the Sankirtan movement, which is the ultimate benediction for humanity at large. And the Chankazi, enlivened by this benediction, said, I, the Chankazi of Navadvip Dham, hereby proclaim, as many descendants as ever take birth in my dynasty, my order upon them, their heads, do not obstruct the devotees in their Sankirtan movements. So, amongst all the avatars, the avatarees, Krishna and Balaram, and Lord Ramachandra is also tremendous manifestation of the potency of Godhead, as is Lord Nrisingadev. But we should not be overly infatuated with his just ripping apart the demons. We should contemplate the prayer that he's leading the residents of Harivarsha in. Oh my Lord, who has nails and teeth like thunderbolts, please vanquish the demons in my own heart. Let all envious persons become pacified by taking to devotional service, because only then will they think of each other's welfare. Let us all engage in service to the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed loving thoughts of him. This is the prayer that Prahlad offers for the world and for us to imbibe his spirit. So on this tithi, when Lord Nrisimhadev made his appearance, infused with the same potency and mercy as the day he appeared in this world, let us absorb our hearts in remembrance, our tongue in chanting, and our ears in hearing, and all our faculties in serving to maximize the experience of receiving his blessings. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. There are three dimensions to forgiveness. I forgive others. I am forgiven. And I forgive myself. And you're saying that the third is the most difficult, forgiving yourself. That's often the case amongst devotees. It can be different things. It can be just thinking too much of yourself, expecting too much of yourself in terms of perfection. Forgiving yourself requires that we accept our imperfection and brokenness, but not begrudgingly. Oftentimes, people pray for strength in their weaknesses. And the Vaishnavas don't encourage us to pray like that. Because Krishna works best through our weakness. And he reveals himself largely through our brokenness. And if we contemplate these aspects of Krishna's mercy, we can be more forgiving upon ourselves for our shortcomings, with understanding and hope that Krishna will work through them. Right. Anything else? Yes, a very important point. By sadhu sangha. And as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, there will be many difficulties and obstacles in this world. It is only by sadhu sangha and nam sankirtan that they can be overcome. So amongst these obstacles is the inability most of us, or